Between the Wasatch Mountains and the Bonneville Salt Flats, deep in the heart of Salt Lake City, Utah, this is Culture Crash.
Look, this is Fable Town.
The place where fables are found. Grimy roads are placed, the yellow bricks paved on the ground.
How many of them stay here?
I'm unable to count, because labeled as outcasts, they stay underground.
They keep themselves to themselves.
Invisible among these Mondays.
They use a spell to repel.
Every community needs a way to keep in order.
Someone to police the place.
A sort of senior lawman, formerly the Big Bad Wolf. They call him Bigby.
Went from eating kids to drinking neat whiskey.
When lying alone at night, I don't quite know why. He's got the hots for Snow White.
I know, right?
All it took to hook him long ago was a lone bite. It was so wrong.
Yet so right.
That is a customer service. Like, maybe,
do you
want
to be my new dude?
Maybe you could be my dude.
What you got? Like, what are you selling?
What are your, yeah, what do you have to offer?
Oh, I've my got a stable God. Job and a 401k.
I'm like, wow.
What you see is what you get.
Horrible. I'm awful.
Speaking of awful things.
Oh, yeah? You want to go right into it? Welcome to... we're not awful. But our subject
Gavin is furious at me right now.
Okay, so welcome to our podcast.
Welcome to episode 4 of Culture Crash.
Culture Crash!
Where Gavin was so super excited for this episode because we were talking about the comic series Fables.
Fables is so awesome.
It was awful.
And here is where the great divide will start, ladies and gents.
I'll preface this by saying I tried super hard to read as many issues as I could, and I couldn't because the number of fucks I could muster was like 2, maybe. And that's a pretty low number of fucks to give.
So on a scale of 0 to 10 fucks, you give 2.
I give like 2 fucks.
I gave 10. What? And now the balance is very, very off between us.
Right.
So where shall we start, Brutus?
At 2, Brute, am I using that right? Did you watch Community?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, okay, good.
Hi, Dan Harmon.
Hi.
Hire us.
Hi, Dan Harmon. Oh, my God.
We love you, Dan Harmon.
I just got really, really fangirly for a second.
I'm friends with him on Facebook.
Like, for real skis, or like he has 16,000 friends?
I'll show you. He doesn't have 16,000 friends.
You better tag him in this post.
Oh, sure.
Okay, so I'll do a brief description of what Fables actually is for those who don't know. Also, you know, preface this like our previous episodes, obviously spoiler heavy.
Spoiler heavy. So
if you haven't
so
read Fables.
Based and on this episode, or based on the opinions as we begin, Gavin is recommending that you pick up Fables and read them.
Yeah.
And Rebecca says if you give...
Whatever, to each his own. Fables was not, oh, you are friends with us. It doesn't show you how many friends he does have, though.
I can
like
find
if
out.
If I add him, I'm going to find him and then I'm going to add him.
Do it.
I will. Don't you know who I am? Okay, Fables, for those who maybe don't know, here's a brief, quickie rundown. Published by Vertigo Comics, Fables chronicles the world's most beloved fairy tale characters hiding out in a magically hidden neighborhood within Manhattan, run out of their happily ever after homeworlds by a mighty conqueror known only as the Adversary. These universally recognized princes, princesses, talking animals, heroes, and villains now face a new challenge, adapting to a modern world filled with sex, violence, and lots of moral ambiguity. Mixing mystery, action, humor, and more, Fables follows these cherished characters' war against the Adversary and their ongoing struggle to survive alongside one another in the modern world.
And yeah.
It's a bunch of fan fiction to me, basically.
Is that a terrible thing?
Yeah. I guess I could
a
just...
A former writer of fan fiction?
Yeah, when I was like 12. I guess the thing about it is none of the characters... I felt nothing for any of the characters.
So you didn't...
At all.
At all. Like, no, there was no good character with any redeeming qualities that I came across.
Nothing stood out to you. No one character drew you in like, that person's awesome.
Well, Cinderella, the one.
Yeah.
Cinderella. Yeah, the spy, like the Black Widow of Fable Town. But she,
So let's do a little backstory here, because I know.
I'll say, you tell me more about Fables, because you obviously love it.
So picture our world.
Sell it to us.
Yes. Picture the world. Sell me this pen, Gavin. Sell me this pen.
Picture this world that we live in right now, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of being the world that we are, it's all the land of fairy tales.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Big Bad Wolf, Snow White, Peter Pan.
Crystal, you have a question.
I have a question. So is it like Once Upon a Time?
See, here's the thing. This is the comic book that Once Upon a Time and Grimm both wish they could be.
I was going to say, every time I read online about something about Once Upon a Time or Grimm, somebody in the comments, without fail, will reference Fables and say Fables did it better.
Okay, exactly. We'll give it that. So there's a nice reference for people that are wondering if they should get into these comics.
Yes,
if you like.
Enjoy those shows.
Okay.
However, I warn... This is going to be one of those things where it will divide you. If you start watching one of those two shows and you start reading the comics, you will either fucking hate the comics or you will start hating television. Because these are written very differently. They're more adult. There's more sex. There's more blood. There's more war. There's more emotion. There's more shit happening. And I'm not looking at people that still are under contract with ABC from Lost playing the roles.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, the thing with Fables is it was set to go on to ABC. Mm-hmm. Like, it was basically a pitch pilot situation. Like, it was ready to go, and they were going to make something. And then they decided at the last minute not to because it cost too much money to do.
Well, they're developing it for, I think it's HBO.
Which would be awesome, but I still have yet to see anything physical. Right. So, it's like the Green Lantern movie for years. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, we're working on that. Sure you are. Mm-hmm. So, you know, much like Constantine was for years, much like Preacher was for years. As soon as something physical happens, I'll believe it. But even like the guy who played Sawyer on Lost was set to be Bigby.
Oh, I'd watch that.
Yeah.
He's dreamy.
That caught your attention real quick. So, yeah. So anyway,
the thing is, if you were to develop Fables for TV, it would have to be on a cable network channel because of how dark and no good characters. Everyone is pissy and.
So they're in a world like ours, and
no,
all
they're
those
in our world.
No, I'm getting there.
Oh, sorry.
But it's a world basically where they populate. You didn't get far enough in, but like the Arabian Night tales. With the flying carpets and the genies, they live in an area that's much like India. Mm-hmm. You know, Mowgli in the Jungle Book is in an area that's much like Africa. Mm-hmm. But it's not shaped like our world or anything like that. It's very vast. It's very wide.
Sure.
It covers a ton of territory. And the things that they don't tell you is like the same... It's along the same lines of like the same land where the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe exists.
I was going to say, so is it like
nearby
is it
the Wizard of Oz exists?
Earth? Is it like on Earth and you have to travel through another dimension?
To a degree. Like, let's get into a little bit more of it. The like all of, every single one of these stories all exist in the same world. Like, that's the premise that they're going for.
Okay.
Now, a dark, sinister force starts coming through. And taking over what they call the homelands, their original world that they were living in. And it's one of those situations where you either join their ranks and be forced into, you know, slavery or substitute or something, or you die.
Oh.
And for a lot of those characters, death ain't appetizing and fighting ain't fun. Mm-hmm. So they start running. And much in the same vein of Peter Pan of how, like, you can come... Much in the same vein of Peter Pan, how you can go from our world to his, like the second star to the right, straight on till morning kind of thing. They have a portal to our world through magic and through hidden gates and stuff like that. So they can get to our world and vice versa. So yeah, they start fleeing to our world. When they get to our world, they realize that the people that they are the fictional stories and tales that we've been telling for ages, like all the Hans Christian Andersen stuff and whatnot. And that
so
they
how
are,
do they discover that? They just hear somebody talking about them, or they
go
to the library?
What
or?
They call, like us humans, the mundies, the mundanes. Okay.
They call us the Mundies. Mm-hmm. We tell these stories about Little Red Riding Hood, about uh-huh. Cinderella, about Snow White, and that's how they discover, like...
We essentially
give them life.
Yeah, their world is based on our belief in them. Mm. So,
you know, like Jesus.
Or like Tinkerbell.
Like, yeah, clap if you believe
fairies.
In fables.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Exactly.
They only exist if you believe.
So it takes them, and because of that, and they are constantly retold, that's what gives them life, so they're basically immortal.
So, okay, so do the more popular ones have more power?
Not necessarily, they just live longer. Like the...
Sorry.
You okay?
Yeah.
You need some Robitussin there?
No.
Okay.
Shut up.
It's just a kennel cough.
All right. Yeah. It's just the poisonous air.
It is.
So, like a tale like Snow White, she's pretty much guaranteed to live forever and ever.
Like, there was a part where she got shot in the head. And, like, she still had to recover and stuff. So, like, you can get... As a fable, you can get injured and damaged pretty heavily, but because of the Mundy's belief in you, you don't die.
But if you're a lesser known fable, you can get badly fucked up and still live, but it's going to take you a while to recover.
You might be like mutilated for the rest of the
game. Yeah. And there are characters that are like that.
Like they did that with one of the three little pigs.
Yeah.
Aww.
They killed Colin!
Aww. Colin was one of the three little pigs.
Was he the straw, the brick?
Oh, so
or the
there's a storyline there which takes its name from the Orwell, or not Orwell.
George Orwell.
Yeah.
Animal Farm.
Where, okay, here's the way that this works in a nutshell. If you're human or you get a magic spell from one of the witches.
Which are expensive also.
Yeah, to make you look human. You can stay in the giant... downtown Manhattan skyscraper that has infinite number of floors and closets and stuff because it's magic. And they call it the Woodland Apartments.
Huh.
Because you're human, you can go out amongst, you know, mm-hmm. normal people and interact with as such. But because there's animals like the Three Little Pigs and Thumbelina and Peter or Thumpkin. What's his name? Thumpkin? Whatever.
Oh, like you mean the... Wizard of Oz, Flying Monkey. Oh, that's Bufkin.
No, but there's like the there's Thumbelina, and then there's the other little guy. Anyway, the woman who lives in a shoe with her 9 billion kids. Like, if you're anything like that, like you live on the farm.
And the farm is essentially a hidden valley in upstate New York where they've cast a spell over the area that people can't really find it.
Hmm.
So. As long as you don't go beyond the borders, no one will discover that you're a talking badger.
Oh.
Well, and it also says that, like, the humans have no desire to find it.
That's essentially what the
spell... Is what the spell does.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Hogwarts.
Yeah, kind of like Hogwarts and... Sounds a lot like Once Upon a Time, too.
Well...
Again.
Well, yeah.
Like,
Fables
yeah.
did it first.
Yes, so, yeah. That's where they got their idea.
So, they staged a mutiny on the farm, and essentially Snow White is assistant to the mayor, which is Old King
Cole.
Okay,
so like Snow White, Cinderella, mm-hmm. they don't have to get spells to look like humans, right?
No, because
they already
are.
Because they are.
Mm-hmm. But
So you know how in every fairy tale there's Prince Charming?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's like one goddamn Prince Charming, and every woman has like married him at least once, and he's like a dirtbag.
He is the scumbag stereotypical
gold
male.
Digger. He's
gold chain wearing.
He's like a douche.
Because if you look, if I'm right, the chain of events, the way it goes, is he was a noble prince, and he saved Snow White from the seven dwarves, who in this version were essentially torturing her and raping her as she was a servant slave. So he saved her from them, cheated on her with her sister Rose Red.
Oh, man.
When she left, he went off on a quest and found Sleeping Beauty,
mm-hmm.
you know, took her for all she was worth. And then when she was gone, he's like, fuck this. I'm not finding women anymore. So
no, and then he married Cinderella.
Yeah, he held the ball, got Cinderella, and took her for all she was worth. And so then, you just have this line of pissed off women. Like every Prince Charming that you've ever read about is this one Prince Charming.
And then he like strolls back into town. Like in the first, like however, I think it's the first issue. Like he strolls back into town and.
He's been abroad. He's been what they call it. I forget the term. It's a traveling one.
Yeah. Yeah. Something like that. But so like he's just, you know, being a scumbag around town, and then he finally meets back up with like Sleeping Beauty. And Sleeping Beauty, because when she was born she was given like this wealthy blessing, so like no matter what she does or no matter where she goes she will always be wealthy. And so he's like, oh, I remember that.
But she's also still cursed, so she ever pricks her finger
she just falls asleep,
and whatever building she's in starts growing like the thorny bushes.
Oh wow.
So like here's the thing. Talking about it, the idea is very interesting. When I read it, like, applied, it was so boring.
See, that for me, it was the opposite. I thought, my friend Tony recommended it to me, and when he first told me about it, I was like, it doesn't really sound that interesting. And then the Dr. Volts people were recommending it to me, especially Dave and Maya. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, you know what? I'll pick up first trade. Let's try this out. First trade got me hooked. Like, I was not interested in it. And
really? I thought the first trade was so boring.
The death of Rose Red?
Yeah.
And just find, I don't know.
And the fact that she, like, faked her own death and Rose Red is, like, the super depressed, just angsty teen.
And then you get into number two where they're on the farm.
Yeah, I did not like that at all.
Number three with the Bluebeard.
Is that what...
We're talking about the trades, by the way. We're not going issue by issue. Bluebeard is basically doing some nasty shit behind the scenes. He's the one that...
he's the one that helps Goldilocks.
Try and get Snow White and Bigby killed. By the way, when we talk about Bigby...
He's the big bad wolf.
He's the big bad wolf from... Any story involving a big bad wolf, like
Little
Red
Three
Riding
Little Pigs.
Hood. Yeah.
Okay.
And he's the town sheriff. Because apparently he's the one that most everybody fears the most at this point in time. And he has one of those spells that makes you look human.
Oh.
But if you piss him off enough, he will turn back into the big bad wolf.
Mm-hmm.
But there, you know, he apparently is starting to fall in love with Snow, and he won't say it out loud, and people are seeing it. So there comes a trick played on him where they basically cast a magic spell on him and Snow White to go off into the woods and have a weekend together. And in the meantime, the three bears and Goldilocks are trying to kill them.
Like, no, the three bears are dead. It's just Goldilocks who's trying to kill them.
No, the bears are alive.
One of
Baby
them.
Baby bear gets
Baby
killed.
Bear died. But the other bears, it's just Goldilocks who's trying to hunt them down.
And she's
a whack job bitch.
Yeah.
Goldilocks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like she's a whack job.
Well, yeah, you kinda gather that from her story. She just wanders into somebody's house and starts eating their food.
Okay. Yeah.
Who does that?
What
crazy
a bitch.
People.
But along with all these tales, there's minor characters that end up playing bigger roles as you go along. The janitor for the place is called Flycatcher. He's the prince that was turned into a frog.
The frog prince.
Aww.
Yeah. There's a giant ass library in this place that, you know, you use spells and, like, they turn a closet into this never ending trove of books that they took from their homelands, and it's all managed by Bufkin, who's one of the flying monkeys from the Wizard of Oz.
And then eventually, like at some point, Santa Claus is addressed, right?
Santa Claus is a fable, and that's a really cool story. It doesn't come up until much later, but they address how he works.
He work?
You know how he basically, the idea is that he's everywhere at once.
Oh God.
Like that's
like Jesus.
Omnipresent. Santa Claus is omnipresent.
So like, okay, when he comes down one person's chimney, he's essentially has the ability to go down everyone's chimney at once. So he can be everywhere at once. That's how he sees everything. That's how he knows everything.
Creepy.
Mm-hmm.
There's a better explanation in the book than what I'm giving.
Right.
But
that's the edited quick.
That's the edited quick version. Like, and it's a really cool thing. Like, you know, he's not necessarily a guardian. He's not really there to punish you. He's just there as this magical spirit to give out joy or to dole out coal where necessary.
Mm-hmm.
There's even, and the character Jack is one of the more prominent characters who later got his own spin-off.
He too was a big old douche.
He's
from
a
Jack
douche.
And the Beanstalk.
Jack mm-hmm. and the Beanstalk.
Jack the Giant Killer.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, well, that
Jack
makes
be
sense.
Nimble,
he's
Jack
a douche.
Be quick. He was Jack Frost at one point.
Oh.
But so in Jack, he gets his own spin-off. There's a bunch of like series
See,
spin-offs.
I hate the spin-off of Jack. I thought that was.
That's what I've heard. I've heard it's not. Like, I've heard people don't like it. So there's, let's see, there's 1001 Nights of Snowfall, which was a prequel to Fables.
Yeah.
Let's see, Cinderella it's gets her own spin-off
here.
Series. What?
I should point out I have the 18 volumes that are out so far in some of the books.
Cinderella gets her own spin-off series, which I would actually be interested in reading because she's a badass. Fables, The Last Castle, in which Boy Blue relates to Snow White, the tale of the last stand against the adversary.
Which is an awesome story. Where Robin Hood is standing at the gates, like just defending
Aww.
As they all make their way out.
Werewolves of the Heartland, Fairest, which is the spinoff featuring like Sleeping Beauty, Rapunzel, and Cinderella. Let's see, Jack of Fables, The Literals. What is The Literals?
The Literals are a spinoff series where, the Fables are what's written in, like, children's books.
Mm-hmm.
The Literals are what's written in more adult books.
Oh.
So it's more novel-esque people.
Oh, yeah. Gotcha. Okay. And then Peter and Max, a Fables novel centering around Peter Piper, his wife Bo Peep, and his brother Max, who will later grow up to be the Pied Piper. Yeah. They do pretty well. I hear as much about the spinoffs as I do...
The main series. But the main series is the one that is just so good. And I'm going to spoil.
Will you tell me what the adversary is?
Oh, yeah. You want to get into that?
Yes.
So Boy Blue becomes a badass as you get in later.
Ugh, and he's such a whiny bitch, in my opinion.
He's a whiny bitch early on, but at one point he basically decides there's only one way that we're ever all going to get home, and that's to rage war. And they end up having a fucking awesome war later on.
Mm-hmm.
But he really begins the first assault. He takes a magic cloak that is talked about in a very different book that I forget the title of at the time. But basically you can use the cloak to teleport. You can put stuff in the cloak. It's like this never-ending, you know, storage compartment, if you will. It's like if Legend of Zelda had a cloak. Like, how does he carry all of his shit? You know,
in a Mary Poppins bag.
He can cast certain kinds of spells with it. He can create armor out of it. And he takes a special sword and a couple other things, and he heads into the homelands to basically find out who the emperor is. And they had already been attacked once. A bunch of wooden soldiers were sent to fight them. And they tried to attack the apartment complex, and they ended up staving them off. And they realize this can't continue, so we have to go attack. He gets to near the end. He runs into the White Queen, the literal White Queen, not the X-Men version, the one that actually has control over all of snow mm-hmm. in the land. And she's basically the second in command. You see the Emperor, and it's this giant guy with horns. But Blue walks up and just fucking slices his head off, and it turns out to be a wooden puppet. And then they capture him and put him in a cage through a bunch of mages that have decided to work for the guy in charge. And then the next thing you see is he's stuck in a cage in this workshop with an old man. Turns out it's Geppetto.
Fuck that.
Oh, fuck you.
keep your microphone closer.
Geppetto basically, at some point, captured the blue fairy that turned Pinocchio into a real boy.
Mm-hmm.
Pinocchio, by the way, is in this and perpetually stuck as a 12-year-old.
Damn.
And he's like really upset about it.
He can't enact on any kind of urges that he has beyond pubescence. but he captures the blue fairy and basically has stuck her inside of a jar where he's keeping her alive and milking the magic that comes out of her. And he's turning all of the creations that he carves into his own army. and he's using that army to conquer the homelands.
But why?
The explanation should be read about.
Oh.
I'm not going to spoil the whole thing.
Well, we said it was
spoiler
heavy.
Don't go look it up.
I'm not.
But basically, that's part of it. Like, a little bit of it I won't go into, but it's bringing order to chaos, in a sense. Because think about the Land of Fables for a second. You had witches constantly kidnapping children. You had ogres running the land and eating whatever they wanted. You had death and destruction and royalty that didn't give two shits until it actually affected them. It was basically one of the worst mismanaged lands ever seen across all these stories. Like, if you put stories like these all next to each other, it's so fucked up. Just the Land of Oz alone is a terrible place to live in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So his idea at one point was, I'm going to bring order to this place. Oh. And he found a way to do it.
Weird.
Well, not really. Everybody just ran away.
Yeah. And now he's trying to get them back. The war is awesome, though. They make flying airships.
What?
They do by sewing magic carpets together.
Hmm.
It looks awesome. Prince Charming stops being such a dick, and he ends up commanding a fleet to go attack. And then his fleet nearly gets destroyed because they figure out what they're doing by flying overhead. So they hide a black dragon underneath all this shrubbery. And then right as they're overhead, the dragon pops up, blows fire, and destroys this fucking ship.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And there's, like, a whole thing about how they're developing weapons for, like, the little, like, the animals. So, like, the animals can fire guns and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know why. Like I said, on paper, or, like, no, listening to you describe it and talking about it, it sounds awesome.
Like, you'd be way into it.
Like, if this were on TV right now, you would give it 6 episodes.
Yeah.
Maybe.
So I gave it the 6 episode equivalent of comic books.
Which was 22?
Something like that. I think I got to, like, middle of 23. I tried so hard, and I felt so bad because they're on, like, issue 134 or something.
Okay, so issue 134, and how many is that series? Or
they start in 2002, and they're going to end in 2015. So
it's going to end with issue 150.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like most Vertigo comics. Like, DC Comics, Marvel Comics, they have a vested interest in continuing Spider-Man and
yeah,
all these characters for infinite perpetual whatever, because they can make money off them retelling the same story over and over. When you get into titles that are on lower end stuff like Dark Horse and Vertigo, you got to have an end game.
Yeah.
Because more than likely, moving. Yeah.
They got to keep moving. They haven't developed their, what do you want to say? They're epic characters. They don't have.
Yeah. Like, eventually, it's like with Sandman. Eventually, Neil Gaiman was going to move on and do something else.
See, that was one that I tried to get into, was Sandman.
It's hit or miss with a lot of people I've discovered. And it's, I think part of it is because it's mixed in with some DC mythology. Like, it wasn't its own standing series. But that's possibly a discussion for another show.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, it's one of those comic books, like, if we're going to do the recommendation scale, it's not going to be this thing where once you get invested, you don't know where it's going to end. There's an end coming.
There's an end coming.
After 13 years.
So you could actually recommend it to somebody and they could,
they could theoretically go to the library, or if they're really into it, buy the trade series.
Well, yeah, you can go to the library, check it out. You can also, I mean, by 2015, you will be caught up enough that, and if you're into it, be excited enough for that finale, that last episode. You can join in on that.
And I will say, too, it's one of the better drawn comics. There's a couple artists in there that I don't necessarily like.
It is drawn. It is, like, beautiful to look at. The art's really well. Like, each of the pages has, like, a beautiful border, like, theme that goes on through the whole issue.
The covers are so well done.
The covers are really pretty.
It's one of those things where you look at that and you recognize that's a piece of work, mm-hmm. and then you look down the line, because Vertigo is a DC subsidiary.
Okay.
You look at half the shit DC puts on the shelf.
It's like a quickly drawn.
You feel embarrassed for DC at times, because the fact that this is being produced by a minor company, and all these others they're charging an extra buck for are drawn no better than what you would see on Saturday morning on Cartoon Network.
Yeah.
You know. Hmm. So the artwork really drew me in, too.
Mm-hmm.
So
that was the biggest thing I was looking forward to. It was like, oh, the artwork on the cover is really pretty. I started to read it. Okay. Like, it's,
So you give one fuck for the artwork, right?
Yeah.
The other fuck comes from...
The missing fucks for me stem from the fact that I just hate all of the characters. There are two characters who really, like, kind of excite me. Bigby, kind of, and Cinderella.
Kind of.
Cinderella is awesome in this because, essentially, at some point, she was hired by Bigby to be the James Bond of Fabletown.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime there's a character that feels like they're going to betray the group or go off to the homelands, she usually knows about it. She catches Ichabod Crane in the act of leaving in Paris and turns him over to Bigby, who just fucking kills him.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a storyline, a little bit of explanation. Hansel and Gretel are in this, and so is the witch from Hansel and Gretel. At the end of Hansel and Gretel, I don't know
Hansel,
which one.
Hansel.
Cool story, Hansel.
The witch gets burned in the oven, right?
Uh-huh.
According to the timeline in the comic, about a month later is when the adversary starts coming through that portion of the woods. And Snow White and Rose Red, being sisters, are fleeing together. And they come across the house, which at this point just looks like a pile of rubble with mm-hmm. some candy around it. They find the witch still alive in the oven.
Oh.
They take her with them, nurse her back to health. She pledges her life to them. She's one of the most powerful witches on the 13th floor, where all the witches basically hang out.
All the witches live on the 13th floor?
Exactly.
Oh, cool figure.
They're the ones you buy your spells from to look mm-hmm. human and whatnot, and keep all the mystical stuff happening.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, Hansel and Gretel end up in Fabletown a couple years later, and time doesn't work out necessarily the same in our world as it does to theirs.
Mm-hmm.
So when they get there, it's about the 1600s, and they're establishing Fabletown, and they recognize the witch. And they're kind of pissed off at first, but one of the rules is whatever happened in the homeland stays there. This is a new start for us because we need each other to get through it.
Yeah.
So Hansel's kind of pissed off, but Gretel ends up starting to learn magic from her.
Oh.
And this is mid-1600s on the east side of the United States.
Oh, yeah.
So Hansel really starts getting into witch burning and ends up burning his sister.
Oh, wow.
And vowing vengeance on the witch, and he ends up going back to the homelands. Later on in the series, him and Cinderella end up having a huge fight, like almost killing each other, including a car chase. There's some fucking awesome stuff in this book that I wish Rebecca could have gotten past the hatred stuff for.
Yeah, it's like, I'm sure that it like gets great. If I have to put up with all the other characters' is bullshit...
Define bullshit, because I'm interested.
Like, Boy Blue, I cannot stand. The whole thing with Bluebeard and Prince Charming, I couldn't get on board with. Bigby and Snow White, kind of. But then the fact that, like, she's pregnant with Bigby's kids, I don't know, like, what happens there.
Oh,
but, like,
oh, that part gets interesting and annoying.
Yeah. What happens there?
She ends up having, they think she has 6 kids.
Oh my god.
Because that, he's a wolf, right? So what does she have? A litter.
Oh god.
And she's a fable, so it's like magic. She thinks she's having one kid, it looks like she's having one kid, and they just
pops out like a clown car.
They keep coming out, and oh by the way,
they're dogs.
No. They can morph into them if they want.
Oh.
But they can also fly, and that's one of the weirdest.
Where does that come from?
The big bad wolf, his father in the series
the North Wind.
Is the North Wind, who has basically the ability of flight.
Ridiculous.
Let's put this into context, because if she was back in the regular world, in their normal world,
mm-hmm.
she's just a princess with good looks.
Right.
I mean, what is she really passing on aside her looks?
Right. That is true.
So, if you think about it, the magical inherited powers of a talking wolf and the god of wind from the north.
Your grandpa, the whole thing, grandpa is wind.
Probably going to take dominance.
I explained my opinion to Gavin yesterday about how I just felt like I was reading fan fiction. Like, I was just reading fairy tale fan fiction.
It's true. You are.
But then he brought up the good case. Well, essentially, that's what Sherlock is.
Yeah.
And I like Sherlock. You know, so there's not a fine line.
Well, so do you enjoy the actual fables themselves? Like, are you,
it depends.
Cinderella.
If I was reading the original Cinderella with the gory grossness, if I'm reading those original fairy tales when they're terrifying, mm-hmm. sure. That would be great. Like Disney Cinderella, ugh, awful. I'm not a fan. I'm just not a Disney fan.
Recommend it, yes. Gavin, yes.
I do.
You say pick it up now and catch up before, so you're caught up by the end.
If you're that kind of super fan, you want to do the Netflix kind of crashing thing for books, yes.
Well, I mean, a year. Is that really crashing? You've got a year. 2015 it ends.
Yeah. I mean, when I first started,
I read a lot. Though.
When I first started, they were only up to number 11 for the trades.
Mm-hmm.
I crashed 1 through 10 in about 3 months.
Okay. And now they're up to
just taking my time and enjoying what I had.
And now they're up to, you said,
137.
137. And they're going to end with 150.
Which I think is number 18 or 19 in the trades.
Okay.
And I would only recommend it if you enjoy characters who have no redeeming qualities.
Nothing that you can relate to. There's nothing you could relate to.
Stop.
Or...
Stop. Let's. No redeeming qualities.
Gavin off so bad right now.
Gavin's getting...
Let's go back 3 episodes, ma'am. Breaking Bad.
Yeah, but not all of the characters.
A series filled with characters who have no redeeming qualities.
Jesse has redeeming qualities.
You don't know what happened to him after.
I mean,
but during the whole show, he had redeeming qualities.
But I think, too, Breaking Bad, redeeming quality.
White had redeeming qualities.
Not really.
Love for his family.
I mean, even though it was a warped set.
He pissed that away when he said, I did it because I was good at it.
Still had, but throughout still, the whole show, had redeeming qualities.
I'm just saying, you doth preacheth too much on this book.
I'm just saying, for as far as I read, I should have enjoyed the characters more.
You should have wanted to learn more about them.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like with Breaking Bad, you wanted to know more about
Jesse. Like right now, sure, I kind of like Big B. I don't care to know more about him.
I like the idea, with at least character development, they're tying in storylines. So all this stuff that happened, you don't think these stories are interconnected and they're drawing connections toward them.
See, and that's the thing, is I feel like there is too much going on, too. There are a lot of fables out there, but I feel like it's just so much. It almost feels like stretching. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I know what you're saying. Of course, you've got all this material.
Mm-hmm.
You've got all this material.
You've got all this material. And they're trying to include all of it.
Which, I will be fair, yeah. They do go out of bounds a bit, because...
Do they bring the Tooth Fairy in? I mean, you said they brought Santa Claus. Okay.
No. At least I haven't seen the Tooth Fairy yet.
Not yet.
Or the Easter Bunny. But they...
not yet.
There's a legendary witch from Russian folklore called Baba Yaga who's in this.
Mm.
I didn't know who she was beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
You find out that she's a witch that has a house that has bird legs and stuff like that, because that's what Russian literature creates. Mm-hmm. With three knights that can do her bidding. They're made of, like, lava and silver and...
Wow.
Yeah. Hmm. But, you know...
And
stuff
vodka.
Like,
sorry.
Vodka.
And vodka.
The knight made of vodka.
He's my favorite.
Yes. Yeah.
But, yeah, like, yes, there are fables in this book. You don't know. You're not going to know unless you actually go look them up.
So maybe if you are interested in fables, you kind of want to know
more. If you're
more.
Interested in, like, the history and, like, cultural storytelling.
And see, and you're interested in seeing how creative people can tie these things
yeah,
together.
Yeah, seeing a modern take on them.
Sure.
And and I know awards aren't everything, but this thing has won Eisner Awards for years. Like, it's got so many, it might as well retire. Like,
and
it's got
pretty. So, I mean, it may even just be worth checking it out at the library. If you're at the library and you don't know, hey, maybe I'll go take a look at it. Maybe you'll like it. Maybe you won't.
Yeah. I guess. The first trade is a murder mystery, which is very misleading because all the trades after that are not murder mysteries. So I was expecting more like Detective Bigby. I was expecting more of that. And I didn't get that.
Oh.
I got weird.
You do get more stories like that as it goes along.
Hmm.
So,
show Rebecca
any
some of the
closing options. Thoughts or arguments?
If you like Once or Grimm, you might dig this, but be warned, it's like the terrible Alice in Wonderland storyline they're trying to tell on
I
that
think
show now.
If you watch Once Upon a Time or Grimm, and try to read fables, you're going to love one and hate the other.
Exactly.
You don't think it will be like, I like them both. You don't.
It's like drinking the potion. It may taste good, but it's going to have an effect on you.
See, like me, I don't like Once Upon a Time, but I would choose Once Upon a Time over fables. Mm. Grimm is actually pretty good.
And I stay by my statement from before. This is the series that Grimm and Once wish they were. And even
granted,
if they could, and
they're
even if they
on family-friendly networks.
Yeah.
So's The Blacklist. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could pull this series off if you tried hard enough.
Right.
But it would be it would be nice to see it on Showtime or HBO if they ever get their shit together.
If it ever makes it to television, I would give it a watch. Well, anyway, that was episode 4 of Culture Crash.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Huh?
We did that.
Woohoo.
It's been dropped.
And good. I hated something.
Yay!
We were thinking Quentin Tarantino movies.
Yeah.
I like that.
Because I just recently watched, for the first time, Pulp Fiction.
And, well,
see that,
give us a preview.
Shockingly, that does not surprise me.
No, I've now just, like, not going to be surprised at anything Rebecca says she hasn't seen. I'll be like, oh, you haven't seen that.
Hmm. But how do we want to discuss how we're covering this? Is it strictly the Tarantino directed films, or are we covering his body of work?
Or what if, I mean, what like if we look up like best Quentin Tarantino movies? Because I think like From Dusk Till Dawn, I don't know, some people wouldn't categorize as Quentin
like
Tarantino.
For me, when I think of Quentin Tarantino, I think of like a select few. Pulp Fiction, Reservoir Dogs, Inglourious Basterds, Kill Bill Volume 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I think that's it.
Django.
Oh, yeah, Django.
Django, what about...
Jackie Brown.
Jackie Brown. I was going to say Jackie Brown.
And Jackie Brown.
Which, we'll save it for another episode.
Yeah, we'll save it for next episode.
Yeah. But, like, things like From Dusk Till Dawn.
I mean,
the Grindhouse movies.
Yeah.
Like, not necessarily...
Death Proof.
Yeah. Like, not necessarily...
Yeah, Death Proof.
I feel like... Like, we don't have to discuss those in detail.
No, we can go over them. So, send us your suggestions, listeners. Maybe... You have like the top three that you think we should cover in detail.
Yeah, yeah. Like what are your essential Quentin Tarantino movies?
Yes,
and send also I'm going to create controversy. What do you think is the worst?
Yeah, ooh. Absolutely, the best and the worst. Send us your top three best, and then just send us the worst.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. The worst one. Okay. So, and we'll post that on our Facebook page as
post
we get ready.
Post it on our Facebook page. Email us at culturecrashpodcast@gmail.com.
Yep. And we'll tweet that shit and put it all over. So
we'll be super better at social media.
Yeah.
Look, this is Fable Town.
The place where fables are found. Grimy roads are placed, the yellow bricks paved on the ground.
How many of them stay here?
I'm unable to count. Because labeled as outcast, they stay underground.
They keep themselves to themselves.
Invisible among these Mondays.
They use a spell to repel.
Every community needs a way to keep in order.
Someone to police the place.
A sort of senior lawman, formerly the big bad wolf. They call him Bigby.
Went from eating kids to drinking neat whiskey.
When lying alone at night, I don't quite know why. He's got the hots for Snow White.
I know, right?
All it took to hook him long ago was a lone bite. It was so wrong,
yet so right.
In Fable Town, they face a daily struggle to escape the place they came from and the range of ways that they can raise up trouble.
Dark forces want to see this place raised to rubble, but Bigby's a razor blade, erasing any trace of stubble.
Perhaps one too many close shaves, check the mirror, see things a little clearer, the answer's getting nearer. He needs to keep his fellow fables out of harm's way, be they in Bullfinch Street to rip the farm hay. Stop crying over spilt milk, pick up the dairy pail. Dig up the truth that's hidden underneath this fairy tale. You better beware, for there's a wolf among us. But the truth is the food for which he hungers. You better beware, for there's a wolf among us. But the truth is the food for which he hungers.
Culture Crash was created and hosted by Rebecca Frost and Gavin Sheehan, and is recorded and produced by Crystal Nielsen. If you have something that you'd like us to review on the show, please send your suggestions to culturecrashpodcast@gmail.com or connect with us on Twitter at culturecrashslc or facebook.com/culturecrashslc.
For there's a wolf among us, but the truth is the food for which he hungers.
This is Adam Sherlock saying thanks for listening, and remember, we're not just watching culture, we are the culture.